Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There are limited grants that are being approved, one. Two, even if it, particularly for Florida, and I think that was kind of the message. Two, even if they are approved, the cycle time to release the money is several years. So you don't get it the following morning or the following week, historically right now. So that takes time. And then three, there is a 20% local match that's required that has to just be set aside in order to kind of play.
So that is Doug Witt. He is representing the United Bridge Partners, came to the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting on Thursday and pitched them on the idea of a bridge that they would put all the money for up front that they would build. It would take 2 to 3 years, 24 to 36 months, 4 lanes with a bike lane, and then they would operate it as a toll bridge thereafter. So the county wouldn't have to put up any money before and wouldn't have to pay for any maintenance thereafter because that would all be rolled into the cost of the bridge. His basic warning was that, look, bridge prices, construction, it's just going up and up and up. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost.
The inflation is 12% compounded a year over the last 6 years. Over the last 5 years, it's 20%. I can give you a story that's $770 that went to $880 that went to $1.1 from Labor Day of last year to Christmas to this March, or 35% cost increase over 6 months.
So if the bridge that we're going to build you is going to cost us $200 million starting now, if we wait a year, that bridge is going to cost us, you know, somewhere in the order of $220, $230, $240, $250, $260, you know, right? Somewhere in there. And if you wait, it's going to cost you more. And if you wait, it's going to cost you more. And if you wait, it's going to cost you more. So the best time to buy something is now. That has never been more true than it is at the moment. So he pitches them on this and he says, look, we're not really a bridge building company or a bridge design company. We're a toll operating company and we're going to try to make it reasonable so that people want to use it because we don't do well if they don't use it. You know, we're well aware of the Garcon Point Bridge debacle and we're not those people and we're not motivated their way. And, you know, we're actually toll operators. We understand this concept, whereas their bankers basically didn't understand this concept. And so, you know, that's a famous bad story that everybody in the industry knows. So Ray Eddington, the district commissioner from District 4, his reaction. What do you think is going to be the reaction? In an election year, our Santa Rosa County commissioners, now he's not up for re-election this year, neither is Kerry Smith, but in an election year, will the county commissioners be excited about adding a toll to a currently toll-free bridge, even though it's necessary to build a new bridge? Or will they all say, no, we'll never do that?
I want to do something for the Santa Rosa people and the people who live on that beach about not paying a toll. Because that's kind of rough. They're going back and forth across all the time. I think we can work it out somehow.
Somehow. The fairy wand solution. Somehow we're going to make this happen. You know, Colton Wright asks good questions.
What would prevent your company from one day just saying, you know what, we're shutting the bridge down. We own it. No one could travel it again. So just what legal assurances would we have if we chose to go that direction?
We would all be tied up in our agreement with the county and a contractual agreement about under what conditions we could go ahead and do that and shut it down.
Yeah, what makes the bridge stay open if it's a privately owned and operated bridge? And the answer is, well, that's all part of the deal terms, right? Who pays for maintenance? That's all factored into the tolls. What prevents you from jacking up the toll? Well, again, I wouldn't, but also can't make money if people aren't driving on it. You know, this is the thing that the Garcon Point Bridge never really learned, and they're well aware of that. So that's one, or that's actually two no's to the toll. James Calkins up for re-election. Colton Wright is up for re-election. James Calkins is up for re-election.
I am fully opposed to a toll to do a new bridge. And I'll tell you okay. We need a new bridge. And so people ask, well, if I'm opposed to a toll, how are we going to get a new bridge? Well,
correct.
It's happened before.
And it has happened before. You know, we got, you know, the Pensacola Bay Bridge was built without a toll. And so it can be done. The question is, should we assume that because we got a great deal on that, that we can manage to pull off an amazing second miracle? Well, that's kind of where they seem to be headed.
It was a bridge over Pensacola, the 3-mile bridge, that they were planning on putting the toll over there. And they said, we can't get a bridge without a toll. It's impossible.
Which is how it was presented. And that predates me, that conversation. But right, that's true.
We got history that it is possible. And we got proof that it's possible to build a bridge without a toll. But we just need the right people in place. We need the right circumstances.
The right politicians to bring money back to us. By the way, it does not quite predate me. Excuse me, that's not quite accurate. It was a discussion point while I had just kind of gotten here.
One thing that would be appealing to us is having a proposal where Santa Rosa County's residents don't pay a toll. And I think Commissioner Eddington brought that up. He was saying the beach. I said, no, not just the beach. District 3, District 4, and District 5, and District 1, and all of Santa Rosa County residents. Those are the folks that we serve. And I know that the folks in Jay and Shemuckla, they use that beach too. And it's their beach also.
Is there a way that we can make it so that only people from, say, I don't know, Escambia County or Alabama or Okaloosa pay the toll? The answer is going to be no on that, I think. Pretty sure the answer is going to be no on that. Maybe you could just get Democrats to pay for it. Maybe James, if he's listening, is like, oh, can we do that? Can we make Democrats pay for it? No, sir. No, as a joke. James Calkins is a no. And he says, look, we can get Don Gates is going to be the new senator again, the new old senator. He did this before, or at least that's, you know, the most dominant version of that story is that he did this before. Maybe he can do it again and we can pull off another miracle and we can get another bridge rebuilt where we, yes, I know the county hasn't put money aside. I know the county is not prepared for pay for this bridge, even though everybody knows this is coming, just like Escambia is not prepared to pay for the Bob Sykes bridge replacement or the Perdido Key bridge replacement. Dang it, why do we keep not learning this lesson? Well, because, you know, we're counting on a miracle. Somebody's going to bail us out. Somebody's going to come in and, you know, pork in the bridge. And, you know, they're going to get us the money that we think we deserve. And we're not going to have to pay for it ourselves, right? Or have put a toll on it, which is paying for it ourselves later. We'll come back to this in a second. James has got James. Now I'm calling you James because you said it before. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are on Langley Avenue this morning in Pensacola heading eastbound, there is an accident at Langley and Tippin right outside of that Golden Corral area right there. So use caution driving through there. The roadway is blocked. That is heading eastbound on Langley Avenue. And seeing a lot of traffic in the surrounding areas due to that crash on 9th Avenue heading southbound, right south of Langley. If you are in Pace this morning, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up on Woodbine. Excuse me. And if you are coming... Thank you. If you are heading eastbound on 98, right after you pass the Navarre Beach Causeway there, heading into Windhaven Beach, you can see a lot of traffic slowing down the roadways this morning. If you see anything else on our roadways, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So, again, back to the question of whether the bridge is going to be a toll bridge. And, by the way, the general parameters here are three options that were being presented by this company. Option number one is to have the bridge be on the current footprint of the current bridge, the causeway, to Navarre Beach. And so that would cost about $150 to $200 million and run you a toll of $235 to $335 in that vicinity. If you're going to do option number two, that would be the one that I have been thinking would likely happen, which is to go from 87, the intersection of 87, right across there, instead of at the current location, where it doesn't really make sense. It makes a lot more sense to have it be at 87 if you were to start from scratch, right? So 87 and then to kind of go west, and there's some open land there that it could land on. That would be $250 to $300 million, and that would be $4.25 to $5.20 per crossing, so $5 each way. And then the third option would be, and there's no price on this one, but the third option would be to start at 87, bend east, and basically join the current footprint of the bridge about halfway across. The advantage there is that wouldn't change the traffic pattern on the island. And, you know, like Juana's and the gas station and the beaches and all, and the pier would not be affected by that change. We don't have a price or a toll estimate on that, but I think it's likely to be that second one, $250 to $300 plus a $4 to $5 toll. So back to the conversation. You've got now James Calkins and Ray Eddington and also Colton Wright have all said they're not interested in a toll. Sam Parker.
One thing that will be appealing to us.
Oh, excuse me. Hold on just a second. That's James Calkins. Here's Sam Parker.
I'll be abundantly clear where I'm at. You know, I think I'm the only commissioner that didn't meet with you or take time for a telecall. And I think I was abundantly clear on kind of my initial statement on that. I said, I don't think this board has an appetite for the tolls that'll come along with the cost to build this bridge.
Okay. Yeah, and generally speaking, people are against paying tolls very strongly. I myself, very against paying tolls, especially on the interstate, a case that Sam brought up.
I can tell you, even as Commissioner Wright navigated us through a lot of things during his time as vice chair and chairman on our Florida-Alabama TPO, the state of Alabama needs to build a new interstate bridge going from Mobile to over by Fairhope Daphne, or Daphne Spanish Fort, and they wanted to toll it. And they said that was the only way they could do it. And Commissioner Wright, he was against it. He said, I don't believe in tolling the interstate system. And Alabama kept saying there's no way to do it. Well, there was enough pushback that it echoed the halls of the Capitol up there in Alabama, and they dropped that. And so there are definitely times with it.
Unfortunately, Sam is wrong about this. That plan was dropped temporarily. It is not dead. It is, in fact, back, and the current plan is to build the new Bayway at $550 a pop each direction. So that is not dead. It just got postponed, and they are back on that exact same plan at a much higher price tag because of the delay, right? So they talked about, you know, inflation is killing us all, blaming Joe Biden. It's a good chance to, you know, do electioneering. I'm for Trump. I'm against Biden on the dais.
Now this board's recently, you know, laid out things that'll add taxes on new construction, you know, doubling sales tax. Now we're talking about tolls, you know, on bridges. You know, we've even had people come in recently talking about incorporation and new municipal taxes. And so it's, you compound that with what the American people are feeling out of Washington. And quite frankly, most working families I'm talking to out here feel like their backs are being broken by taxes.
And so putting a toll on a bridge that's currently free is, again, something that there's no chance they're going to do that in an election year. I really, quite frankly, none of this really surprised me. I was hoping for a little bit more of a realistic assessment, which is, well, this is obviously a challenge for us. But if we wait, it's going to cost more, and we got to kind of hope for a miracle out of either Tallahassee or D.C., and if that doesn't pan out, then we're just going to wind up paying more for this bridge, you know, and nobody was really quite willing to say it that way. They're just hanging their hat on getting the miracle, basically.
I am very encouraged that Senator Don Gates is going to be reelected into the Florida Senate later this year, and I think that that will absolutely open up an opportunity that he will be able to work for our area on behalf of the panhandle.
One possibility is count on Don Gates. Another possibility is count on Trump.
I'm encouraged because, quite frankly, America needs President Donald Trump back in the White House next year during Inauguration Day. And if we can get President Trump back in there, we've heard even from you that we're being penalized in Washington because we've got a strong Republican governor. And if we can get President Trump in there, then maybe we can get some of our money, because let's not forget, Washington gets their money from us. And so if we can get some of our money back, then I do think it's possible that we can see this bridge either built without tolls or at least built with dramatically less tolls.
And by the way, there is a truth in the allegation swirling around that Florida is not getting its proportional share. And so on the one hand, you kind of look at this and say, it kind of looks like all these Republican conservatives are complaining that they're not getting enough pork and that they want to have their guy put in so that they can, you know, crony nepotism get the money for their causes that they want. I mean, it does sound like that, you know, elect a Democrat and get Democrat benefits, elect a Republican, get Republican benefits. I think they would say, well, we haven't been getting our fair share, and so getting Trump will mean we just at least get our fair share is kind of the idea. And, you know, it's not that Don Gates is going to Tallahassee and get us a disproportionate benefit, but that he can at least go protect our money because there aren't that many representatives and senators in the panhandle, and that would be kind of the thing that he could accomplish. And I did do a little bit of research on this to figure out, you know, are we not getting our fair share? And the answer is we're not. Okay, we definitely are not getting our fair share the last couple of years. New York gets the most money from Department of Transportation, $2.3 billion. They're fourth ranked in population. California gets $2 billion. They're first. New Jersey gets almost $900 million. They're 11th. That's in third place. Illinois is sixth in population but fourth in spending. And then Texas and Florida that are second and third in population but seventh and eighth respectively. One, two, three, four. Fifth and sixth respectively in spending. Similar kinds of numbers out of line for last year as well. So, yeah, Florida is not getting its fair share of money, and maybe they go fight and get their true fair share. But there's a lot of kind of counting on it turning out here. And not a lot of, hey, what's our realistic alternative? Now, we are scheduled to maybe pass a local option sales tax with an impact fee, and that local option sales tax could be used for transportation instead of widening or, you know, enhancing Woodbine or Schmuckla Highway or any of the other various roads that need attention. Maybe we could work on this. But, I mean, look, bridges are expensive and we need them. Hurricane Sally proved you need not just bridges, but redundant bridges. They're very important. So I just would have liked to hear a little bit more of the, hey, what's our alternative, instead of, no, we're not doing tolls, and Trump. It's not much of a plan, in my opinion. 7:25 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
Well, if you were in Pace or Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up on Woodbine for about a mile from US 90. If you want to hop on Guernsey Road and take Schmuckla to get on US 90, you can certainly do that. We are seeing some slowdowns over the US 90 bridge this morning. And in Pensacola, traffic still building up on Langley Avenue at the intersection with Tippin due to a vehicle crash, and that is heading eastbound. And traffic building up on Davis and Johnson all around the West Florida Hospital there. So expect some delays if you're traveling through that way this morning. Seeing some slowdowns on Tahar Drive and Fairfield with their intersections with Palafox Street. And if you are heading eastbound on 98, you can expect to see a lot of traffic heading into Windhaven Beach as you pass the Navarre Beach Causeway. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
In an ever-changing world, it's important to know that God never changes. Governments change, interest rates change, the seasons change, relationships and even stoplights change. But the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in the book of James that in God there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. The God that parted the Red Sea for Moses and the children of Israel to walk on dry land is the same God who can provide a way of escape from your trial. The God who dropped manna from heaven can provide heavenly nourishment for you today. In a world full of changes, rejoice in the fact that Jesus never changes.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Bands on the Beach, every Tuesday night at 7, bring a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music. This week, the Disco Kiss takes the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass. It's Bands on the Beach, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You shall not pass!
So I think I figured out what James Calkins' election year bridge replacement slogan should be.
What's that?
We're going to build a bridge and make Democrats pay for it. Like build a wall and make... No? You know, he can say it. You know he wants to. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
It's definitely a plan. That's what we can say about that.
It is a plan in the logically qualifying sense. Correct.
North Korea says its attempt to launch a military spy satellite failed when a rocket exploded. State media there reporting that the failure was due to a newly developed rocket motor. The rocket blew up into a fireball and then fell into the Yellow Sea just minutes after takeoff yesterday. Getting a tattoo apparently can increase the risk of developing lymphoma. There's a new study out of Sweden that finds people with a tattoo of any size had a 21% higher risk of getting blood cancer. And a Massachusetts theater apologizing after Richard Dreyfuss apparently had some ranting going on over the weekend. He apparently was at this theater ranting about women in film, the Me Too movement, and transgender kids. A bunch of people walked out of the theater.
He's only 76. He's not even old enough to be president.
Not yet.
You can't blame this on old man syndrome. Not yet.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump and the jury will be back in court this morning for closing arguments in his criminal hush money trial. Fox's Eric Shawn in New York.
Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, expected to lay out the case here in this trial to the jurors that, in his view, there is no case. Prosecutor Joshua Steinglass is expected to give the closing for the prosecution.
The judge says he expects closing arguments to last at least all of today, and then the jury gets his instructions and starts deliberations. There's a Republican House primary runoff election today in Texas.
Gun control is one of the most talked about issues on the campaign trail between Congressman Tony Gonzalez and YouTube personality Brandon Herrera. Herrera has consistently hit Gonzalez for voting for a bipartisan gun safety bill. Gonzalez calls it a mental health bill that got spun as a gun control bill.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. The Texas 23rd Congressional District spans 820 miles along the U.S.-Mexico border. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Some new security cameras are set to be installed on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. According to the News Journal, a new agreement has been made between the Escambia Sheriff's Office, the Public Works Department, and the Santa Rosa Island Authority to install this system. Those cameras will replace some cameras that are currently on the boardwalk that used to be monitored by the SRIA, but apparently haven't been working for some time now. The new camera system will be fed directly into the Sheriff's Office new real-time crime center. The system is projected to cost just under $100,000. Alabama's headed to Florida for the NCAA baseball regionals this week. The NCAA selected the Crimson Tide as the number 2 seed in the Tallahassee regional hosted by Florida State. Well, an arrest now has been made in a domestic violence-related shooting in Atmore. Police say 62-year-old Fred Dale was arrested after officers were called to that shooting at the 100 block of Terrace Street early yesterday morning. So far, not a lot of details have been released, but Dale is being held with no bond at the Escambia, Alabama jail. There's no word on charges or the condition of the victim. An incident report, 911 call released over the weekend in the case of senior airman Roger Fortson. He was shot and killed by an Okaloosa deputy earlier this month. In a 911 call, a resident at Fortson's apartment complex reported hearing an argument that had been ongoing for some time.
Have you heard anything else other than the arguing?
Yeah, I just heard, like, I promise you, it sounded like 3 or 4 gunshots, and then okay. I'm running and screaming.
Okay.
And I know there's a kid up there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm freaking out.
Yeah, we have our deputies. He's on scene there with them now.
Okay.
Just for your safety, just maintain, like, stay in your apartment.
Okay.
And just for now, we're trying to clear the scene, too, okay?
And that report that was released was about 30 pages long, but nearly completely redacted. The FDLE still investigating the shooting. Fortson was laid to rest in his hometown in Georgia earlier this month. The family has hired attorney Ben Crump to represent them. Well, it's officially the summer season now. Both of Pensacola's swimming pools are open. The city says the Cecil Hunter Pool on East Blunt Street, the Roger Scott Pool on Summit Boulevard, both open for the season here over the weekend. Entry fees are up just a little bit this year. It's $3 for kids, $4 for adults, $3.50 for senior citizens. Season passes, that is, $116. Family passes, $187. Senior passes, $73. Also new this year, those passes good for both of those pools. And the U.S. Navy Blue Angels, now the top draw on Amazon's Prime Video service, that new Blue Angels documentary that was in Pensacola's theaters just about a week ago, debuted last Thursday on Prime Video, and quickly took the number one spot on the platform. The documentary, filmed with IMAX cameras, and follow the Angels as they trained and prepared for the flight season. That's streaming now. It is 7:34, News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
Well, if you're heading eastbound on Langley Avenue, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic building up at the intersection of Tippin. That is due to a vehicle crash that happened earlier. We are still seeing a report of a roadblock, so use caution through that area. And if you're coming in from Pacer Milton, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic over the bridge, the US 90 bridge this morning. Traffic is backed up, I should mention, on Woodbine and Chemukla, about a mile up on Woodbine and a few blocks up Chemukla at the respective intersections with US 90. And like I said, a little bit of traffic over the US 90 bridge and building up as you enter Pensacola, right as you exit the bridge. If you are driving down Scenic Highway southbound, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up right before the Olive Road intersection. So expect some delays through that area as well. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
It is going to be a very warm day today with temperatures warming up near 94 degrees for your high. Mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Wednesday, 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny. High near 90. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Keeping the nice forecast around for Thursday with hot, humid temperatures. High near 88. Temperatures overnight dropping into the low 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 75 now in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. The nation's third largest cell phone provider is getting bigger. This morning, T-Mobile has announced plans to acquire most of rival U.S. Cellular in a deal worth close to $4.5 billion. T-Mobile will get U.S. Cellular's stores, customers, and some of its wireless spectrum. The purchase comes as T-Mobile battles for customers with Verizon and AT&T after all invested heavily in 5G. T-Mobile will use its newly acquired spectrums to improve coverage in rural areas. Over Memorial Day weekend, drivers were able to fuel up on gas that, on average, was cheaper than the same time last year when adjusting for inflation. But gas prices could start climbing again soon. That's because oil prices are up close to 2% today, with the U.S. benchmark trading at $79 a barrel. Traders expect OPEC and its Russia-led allies to extend their voluntary cuts when the group meets later this week. On Wall Street, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Well, I could put you in a common rising position.
7:39, News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's a Tuesday, and that means we have Sheriff Chip Simmons here in house with us. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always good to have you. Memorial Day weekend, everything going okay, especially out on the beach. As you know, people always ask questions, how did the beach event go? And in years past, there was, you know, some drama over things not being cleaned up, but in the most recent years, things have been all fairly well organized, well run, low level of incidents, and clean up pretty quickly. I mean, nobody likes it to be a mess while they're here, but nobody likes it for the Blue Angels to be a mess while they're here either, and that happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you see our beach after 4th of July, it's probably, yeah, probably a little bit
exactly
in disarray as well. But no, I have not received a single call about an incident that took place. I would imagine that we would probably, with all the people there, I would imagine we'd probably have some, you know, some disturbances here and there and some assistance we have to provide people, but by all accounts, it went real well.
Do you typically, for that staff, like, is that extra duty? They basically hire security that's your agency?
The Island Authority allocates a certain amount of overtime.
Okay.
So we increase it whenever we think there's going to be a big event. Now, we did, I did allocate some overtime for some events that could potentially have taken place in Escambia County, in the not on the island.
Oh, okay.
So we did have some expense regarding the holiday, but we do that a lot whenever we think there might be some parties here and there, and we want to make sure that we
have. So this is you staffing up, not them hiring off-duty officers.
Right. Well, no, they did hire some off-duty officers, okay, but that's not something that we would come out of our budget. So they would have some deputies out there.
Gotcha.
But it went pretty smooth.
We had a couple of incidents in the last week. One was, I guess, over the weekend. You had the way I heard the story was that a DJ at Town and Country Sunday morning, that he got shot or shot at, and like multiple times. Not being cooperative, though, is what I also kind of heard you guys saying on Channel 3, I think.
Yeah, we got, as reported, he was working as a DJ and ended up getting shot by someone he doesn't know anything about, and that's where we're at.
I'm sorry. I just know you too well that, you know, I the way you describe a story. Go on. So as the tale's being told to us, totally random person came up and shot him, and you don't know nothing about it, never seen these people, and can't figure out any reason why it would happen. Is that what I hear you saying?
Oh, and as I understand, I believe you also had warrants on him, so we also arrested, charged him, and then he was being booked while he was at the hospital.
Okay. All right. Some mysteries are less mysterious than others, I guess, is maybe one way to say that. So you also had two drug houses got torn down, is that right?
Yeah, you know, we've made a
concerted... Or at least closed down. I don't know if
they're
torn down.
Yeah, not torn down. We don't tear down houses. We just help.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. No, the Board of County Commissioners, Code Enforcement, does a really good job of yep. doing that for us and for everyone else. Our narcotics unit has really been doing a good job of you know, stepping things up a little bit. I've added more people to the unit. So they're doing a really good job. If you can see some of the pictures and some of the drug dealers that we're getting off the streets, I think in the recent past, number 23 and 24, we started to number them so people understand just how effective our narcotics unit is being. Do we think that we're going to stop it all? No, but we certainly are going to try. And this is an indication of what we're seeing. If you can see, I'm looking at one of the pictures now on our Facebook page, always guns and drugs and money. And it just, that's the way people end up getting shot. That's the way people end up, you know, overdosing and that sort of thing. So we're glad, and we put their picture out there so people understand who is poisoning our community, who is not doing their fair share in our community.
What's the drug, or maybe there's not just one, but, you know, these things change over time. You know, you've often talked about when you were back in the undercover and working narcotics and, you know, what it was back then. And, you know, what is the trouble drug right now? Is it, you know, you tell me, is it meth? Is it, you know,
I say we see more fentanyl? Meth. Fentanyl is our number one priority. That's the drug that's killing people.
But is fentanyl on its own, or fentanyl that gets mixed in typically with other things?
Well, we've been seizing fentanyl pills recently. So they're either mixing them or taking them on their own. But I would say that we seem to be finding a lot. It's weird because in the past, as you mentioned, it was always you do marijuana, you do this, cocaine. Mm-hmm. But we've seen some crack cocaine come back. People are getting, they're cooking crack. The last, couple of weeks, we've made two or three cases where there's actually crack cocaine again. So now we have all of the bad stuff. We have the new bad stuff was the fentanyl. We have meth that they used to cook in the kitchens. Now they get it so cheap from Mexico that they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's by the way, just to pause you on that, like this is something that we've mentioned before, but people may not realize is the reason you don't hear about people cooking meth in their cars or houses blown up because they're meth labs is because it's just more cost effective to get it imported from Mexico because they make it industrially in these massive operations and they sneak it across the border. Like that,
by the hundreds of kilos and thousands of kilos that are just coming in from Mexico and it ends up in our community, ends up in pretty much every community. But yeah, we have the mixture of the fentanyl and then we have the meth and then we have the high quality marijuana. We've seen some pills recently. If you've noticed like some of the pictures, we've got some oxys, we got some Xanax, we got different pills. A lot of party drugs, but also just the stuff like the fentanyl. That's the mixture.
Is heroin much of a problem for us in Escambia County?
We've arrested people with heroin, but it's not really something that I would be surprised to see heroin on the list of the drugs that we end up seizing on a search warrant.
But I assume that typically when people are involved in this illegal endeavor, they're kind of involved in all of it. You know, the people who deal a lot are not like specialists.
They seem to be willing to do just about anything. Yeah. If you can see the pictures of the people that we arrest.
These are more kind of general questions, but I'm just kind of, you know, you and I don't often talk about this exactly, but, you know, criminal endeavors, you tend to have this picture like if somebody's in crime, they're doing all the crime, you know, like there's a lot of interaction between. Is there much overlap between, for example, the drug dealers and like trafficking and prostitution, or are they kind of separate endeavors in our community? You know, theft rings, breaking into cars, stealing guns and stuff like that. Are these all interconnected here in Escambia County, or do they tend to be kind of separable by their category?
I think that the way I'd have to answer that is if you look at an enterprise like the car burglaries. Mm-hmm. You know, if we go in there, we catch a group of people that are doing a lot of car burglaries. That's their enterprise.
Yeah.
We don't always find a lot of drugs with them. Now, we find a little bit of drugs almost always.
Okay.
So they're involved in the drugs, but not really the drug trafficking that we have noticed.
Got it.
And the drug traffickers, they're not, because they make enough money on the drug trafficking, they don't have to also be, you know, safe burglars or something like that. So while it wouldn't surprise me to see that connection, we don't always see.
And same for like, you know, human trafficking, prostitution, that's kind of a separate thing
it we very rarely see the trafficking in drugs. Or the car burglaries and such or property crimes associated with the people that are doing the human trafficking part.
Okay. That's for me anyway, for having kind of a picture of what reality is. We'll come back to the sheriff in just a second, talking to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up on Woodbine Drive. Chemukla Highway is looking clear. So if you want to hop on Guernsey and take that to get to US 90, I would recommend that. If you're heading southbound on Scenic Highway, you can expect to see some traffic built up before the Olive Boulevard intersection there, and traffic still built up a little bit on Tippin Avenue with the intersection with Langley. That is due to a vehicle crash that was there earlier. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. We had a horrible story in the last week, and you know, I hate talking about kids, but this is the kind of thing that, because it might prevent and save a life, I do want to talk about it for a second. We had a young child, an infant, drown in a bathtub.
Right.
With the parent present, but not doing their job.
Yeah, again, how tragic is this? We had a one-year-old that, according to reports, he put the child in a bathtub and let the water run or trickle. And then he went to another room and fell asleep because of some Benadryl or some medication he had taken earlier. Mm-hmm. And when he was awakened by another young child that was there, left unattended, he woke up to find the child unresponsive in a bathtub. We rarely charge someone for drownings because they're accidental and they happen, even though the parenting was reconsidered reasonable.
Even when people are active, especially around pools and things, it can happen very quickly.
Right. And there are people that should be supervising. But in this case, it was a different level. It was, you know, we didn't feel like it was reasonable, practical, or adequate, obviously. Mm-hmm. In our situation, in our thought process, is that you should have known a one-year-old can't be left unattended in a tub. You should have known you can't take a drug like Benadryl that clearly always says it could cause drowsiness. You should have known you shouldn't have left the child in a separate room from you. You should have known not to lay on the bed and all these sort of things. And to me, and to us, our investigators as well, it wasn't reasonable. Mm-hmm. Now they'll have their day in court, and they can handle it that way. But for us, as you said, we want people to understand that when we investigate these things, we look at the reasonableness, and we talk about that with gun ownership. We talk about that with a number of things, and we don't always arrest, but there are times when we feel like it certainly didn't have to happen.
Right,
and so the charges were brought about.
Horrible, horrible story, and you know I never like talking about kids getting hurt, or getting killed, but it's again a learning opportunity for everybody to pay more attention, you know, sort of to realize the things that are going on. There was a story out of L.A., and we wouldn't normally care much, but it made me want to ask you a question
about L.A. or the story.
either one. Yeah. Los Angeles, by the way, not Lower Alabama. But out of Los Angeles, where this actor interrupted somebody stealing his catalytic converter and winds up getting murdered over it.
I saw that, yeah. And the accounts that I heard was he really didn't even try to physically stop him. He just yelled at him, "Hey, get away from under my car. And then the guy just gets up and shoots him. These catalytic converters, if you recall, about a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, we had a rash of them.
Yeah,
here locally.
They seemed
you
to be
couldn't
all the
park
time.
A motorhome beside a car, a roadway. We made a number of arrests. We had our property investigators were on it. We did a lot of we had some cars stationed side of the road.
Yep,
and you know to
bait see converters. Someone,
yes, bait
beta-lytic converters.
Beta-lytic, yeah. Sometimes I think you need help.
I got Jimmy. You saying Jimmy's not adequate? Oh, that's not what you meant. All right, fair enough.
No, yes. So we had a lot of effort into arresting people that were involved in the catalytic converter theft. And I'm not saying they don't happen. We still get reports of them, but we don't have as many of them here as we did a couple years ago. Now, these things run in cycles, as
right,
you know. And,
right.
And if someone's going to come in town that has an expertise in cutting these things off, they may try to do it again. But it's just, how tragic is that over in L.A.? There's a reason I don't live over there.
And one last quick thing before we let you go. My boys like to go to the range, mm-hmm. okay, for birthdays and stuff for fun. And we went to the range the other day, and it had been a little while since I had gone. And it reminded me of if you don't train routinely,
right,
you're not skilled. And in a moment where you need, especially if you're a concealed carry, as I am, it's the first shot that counts the most. And if your first time practicing on the target makes you feel like, oh, I should be better at this, you should be better at this, right? And I felt that way. And I felt, okay, this is a good reminder. But can you talk about that for a second, about how important it is for training for your officers, but training for, you know, ordinary citizens? And, I mean, I felt bad that I wasn't better first shot. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there's a fine line there. There's how good do you want to be? I mean, do you want to be
adequate,
you know, competition safe type of a shooter, or do you want to be able to protect yourself and your family or others?
Or the people in the grocery store
or whatever,
right?
And I think what you just said is a good point, because we try to encourage people to be, A, familiar with the weapon that you choose, mm-hmm. because we had another accidental shooting, by the way, over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
That I forgot to mention earlier. But and then B, you
accidental
you need
for real or accidental?
No,
they're saying
really. They reported, "Hey, I shot myself."
Okay,
you know,
all right.
I was trying to do this and that, but so you can be familiar. You need to be familiar with the weapon itself, and then you need to be a little bit proficient, so that when you know where to point, because you can't always bring the firearm up to the eye and you know doing that sort of thing. A lot of times
things
you have
happen
to point
pretty
and shoot.
Quickly, right?
Right, and so I would also suggest that if you get an opportunity to go to the range, and I hope you do, that you do practice drawing from a concealed area, you know, without shooting yourself, hopefully, so that you can put a couple of rounds. We train, you know, most of the shootings in law enforcement are just within a short, a close distance. Very few shootings take place 10 yards out, mm-hmm. you know, 30 feet or 50 feet out. They're all within close quarters.
It's like 5 to 10 feet,
yeah,
typically,
yeah.
Right?
Or certainly within 5 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, and that's what we end up training ourselves, you know, in that draw quickly and shoot quickly. Just point to shoot type of thing, and don't sit there and train a weapon and take your time doing it. You've got to, in some cases, shoot to protect yourself and to stop a threat. And so I would suggest that people that go to the range, that when you do that, you train on holstering your weapon first safely. Don't do it the first time with a real round in your gun, but do that very, you know, in a safe environment. And then continue to practice as and get as good or proficient as you feel like you need to be.
And I mean, a lot of ranges don't want you to draw and shoot. You know, they prefer you not to, so you may have to find a place where you can do that. But also, I mean, again, like you say, okay, so stress makes everything worse.
Right.
And if you can carry conceal, you're trying to navigate your shirt tail, you know, and which hand, and did you grab it? Is your finger off the trigger? Did you pull it and shoot yourself in the leg because your finger's on the trigger? Are you stressed and freaked out? Like all of those things that you guys know to practice because you have to practice for real, but a lot of people don't think about it, and then they find themselves in a situation, oh, this didn't go as well as it needed to.
You know, we talk about responsibility. Be responsible when you do these sorts of things. We don't want accidental shootings. We certainly don't want you in your car practicing, you know, that sort of thing. But we do encourage people to be familiar and with the weapon, familiar with how to draw the weapon, and familiar with how to shoot the weapon.
And I'll just say this because I notice it myself, is typical shooting practice, two-hand Weaver stance, you're all good. But if you're drawing and having to deal with a problem, you know, that's sudden, you may wind up needing to shoot with one hand. You may want to practice that.
Yeah, and like you said, though, where do you practice and how safe of an environment do you practice that with? Again, take those moments to make sure the weapon's unloaded. Take those opportunities to make sure you're aware of the field of fire.
Right.
And if you do those two things, then you know, you're unlikely to be harmed.
Your chances are a lot better, and that's the point. That's why training matters so much. Chief,
you're dating me.
I've been
chief for 8 years.
You find that offensive that I'd call?
No, I don't find that offensive, but I do not.
Sheriff Chip Simmons.
I've been called worse.
Fair enough. Not by me. Sheriff Chip Simmons, great to have you, sir. Thanks for the time, for keeping us safe and keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
756 News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic for us.
If you are on Langley this morning, heading eastbound on Langley, you can expect to see some traffic slowing down on the intersection of Tippin. That's due to a vehicle crash that happened earlier, so expect some delays through there. And if you are heading westbound on 9 Mile, if you're trying to get on I-10, there is a lot of traffic backed up past Pinecone Drive and almost to the Starbucks there on Pine Forest Road. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516 or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500 to $41,793 or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through VCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them.
7:59 on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our quick headlines. David?
The UN Security Council is set to meet today. This is after that deadly Israeli military strike in Rafah. The weekend strike hit a camp housing the displaced due to the fighting.
Yeah, and Benjamin Netanyahu has already called it a mistake, and you know, which unfortunately in warfare mistakes happen, but that's what the other side is saying, is if you weren't there, the mistake couldn't happen.
You're listening to the winner of the prestigious National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for Community Service, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.